The scripture I'll be reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. There it goes. The next day, the rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus, this is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is a salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved."
The second reading, the epistle, comes from the first letter of John, chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. And you can find this in your pew Bible in the New Testament on page 226. Hear these words. "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given us." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The gospel lesson I will be sharing for you this morning is taken from John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have no other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father."
Thank you all. We are going to make a quick move to put up a screen and a projector so that we can show you a DVD. This is technology. It takes a moment to set up. The screen will be up here between me and the other lectern. And I'm going to encourage you now, in the next 2 minutes, to move forward and sit where Don and Janet are sitting. If any of you can move over here, we're doing our best with the technology, but you'll have a much clearer view if you move down to this section. Don't all move at once. And if the rest of you don't want to move, or if you'd rather not sit, you can stand as well. I think it's 8 minutes. It's not a big deal, but it's really, I think it's critical that you see it today. as those folks are setting up a couple words, and this is a special note for Mark Doctor because he usually gives me a hard time. This will take the place of the sermon. There won't be an additional sermon, and this is the sermon. There's an expression that many of you have heard. I guarantee you've heard it. And that is, actions speak louder than words. We've heard it so many times, but it definitely, today, needs to be said again. Actions speak louder than words. And in fact, I believe that that's the key of the passage that we just had from 1 John. When he said, "Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action." And this is His commandment, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He has loved us. And so today, I want you to consider this call to truth and action. And as you think about this, please recognize that I'm not saying that words and belief are not important, because they are. But rather, our faith, our belief, is the starting point from which we move on to love in action. So many times when Jesus interacted with people, He recognized that their faith had already made them strong and it had made them well. But then there was the action of healing and transformation. Jesus knew it, and so do we. Actions speak louder than words.
Hearts, minds, doors. As United Methodists, these words take on a whole new meaning when we place the word open before each word. Open hearts, open minds, open doors. Hello, I'm Larry Holland, General Secretary of United Methodist Communications. A movement has built within our church because we make the promise to be people with open hearts, open minds, and open doors to a world seeking a message of hope. What you are about to see is the next step in strengthening that message. But first, consider the word open as a verb, not an adjective, but a word of action where the people of United Methodist Church open hearts, open minds, and open doors to transform the world. This evolution of our promise requires us all to rethink church. You're about to see an inspiring video launching this concept. We will follow this video with an explanation of how you and your church can partner with United Methodist Communications to rethink church.
What if we rethink church? What if church was less about Sunday and more about the other days of the week? What if church wasn't just a place we go, but something we do? A menu of adventure, an active verb instead of a noun. What if church wasn't just a building, but thousands of doors, each of them opening up to a different concept or experience of church, so that whoever knocks might find a journey to call their own? What if church was the way church was in the beginning? Outbound, unbound, active. Human beings from completely different worlds, united by common purpose, experience, and belief, creating real solutions for their daily lives. What if church looked at itself with seeker's eyes? recognizing that even the smallest step through one of our doors is an act of courage, a moment of vulnerability, that solving secular need can lead to spiritual interaction, that social relationships can offer opportunities for discussions of faith and provide inspiration for discovery, and that for a skeptical world, actions often do speak louder than words. What if church was more of an out-of-church experience, an opportunity to prove what we say we believe with our lives? Then, perhaps Sunday could be a day of rest and reflection on all that we had accomplished Monday through Saturday. What if we rethink church, not in terms of what it is, but what it could be? And what if we can convince the world to do the same? Together we can open hearts, open minds, and open doors. The people of the United Methodist Church.
Thanks to our AV folks, I appreciate that. I apologize for the poor quality. The point is, we'll try to show this again in other places, other times. How many of you could hear and see that? Okay, great. You now understand why many of us have badges that say Rethink Church. A quick overview of what we're talking about, and I want to then put it into your laps as a way to turn your actions, make actions out of your words. This idea of Rethink Church is a international movement of the United Methodist Church. It started last month, and in 2 days, in the early parts of May, across this country, there will be a media campaign on Facebook, on Twitter, on taxis in major metropolitan cities, on TV throughout the world. The goal is to reach out to people who may not have heard about church. The demographic that they're after is folks between 18 and 34 years old, a demographic that unfortunately is not well represented in the United Methodist Church. But the main point is that we as a people do not change our mission. The mission of the United Methodist Church remains the same, and that is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That's what we're about. This media campaign doesn't change who we are. It doesn't necessarily change what we do, but it does mean that we're repackaging our message and trying to get it out to other people so that they will then find doors into church, a church that's different, perhaps, than their parents' and grandparents' church. And so what we're asking all of us to do today and throughout the next few months is to rethink church. We were people of open hearts, open minds, and open doors, and we still are. But we want to change that adjective to a verb and become people who open hearts, who open minds, and open doors for people to invite them into church. And we want to change the definition of church from a noun to a verb. Church is where we are. Church is where Christ is. Church is where the Holy Spirit moves. So this morning, specifically for each of you, I want you to think about three things. And I believe that turning our love into action can be done on three different places. The first of those is in worship. Every Sunday we come together to worship Christ, to worship God, the triune God. But I think we ought to think about church not as the spiritual destination for the week. This is not where we aim for throughout our week, but rather this is the explanation for the rest of our week. This is where we come to get recharged, to get fired up, to take God's word out into the world. And I need your help, because in fact, when you look at the liturgy, that word liturgy actually means work of the people. It doesn't mean work of the choir or work of the pastor. It's work of the people. And your leadership team has challenged all of us to become more involved in doing church on Sunday morning. We need acolytes. We need readers. We need liturgists. I would love to have more people come up and help with communion on the first Sunday of every month. I'm ready to offer a short course to explain to you the theology of helping in worship. But there's so many things we could do, and you can be a part of it. I am so appreciative to the Tongan youth for being here today, for our own youth when they come to sing and perform, for our choirs, for the bell choir. And this summer, as every summer, you who have musical talents have the opportunity to come and share those with the rest of us. I would love it if we had somebody who wanted to come forward and offer more liturgical dance to us here. There's all sorts of opportunities. You can write a prayer and bring it into worship service. You can testify about how Jesus Christ is moving through your life. We have barely touched the surface of how we can make worship truly an interaction between God's people and God. So let us think about that. The second area is the area of ministry. And today I'm talking about ministry in any program, anything that we do to help each other to walk a little closer with Jesus throughout our life. Ken and Esther Smith have a ministry of reaching out to those people who are sick or housebound. There are endless opportunities for you to write notes or make phone calls if you want to be a part of that homebound ministry. We have all sorts of different small group classes where we study the Bible. And those are always open to people to have you come and join with us in trying to figure out what God is saying us to us through the Holy Word. And I'm very eager that if there is a need out there, let us start a class, a small group, that answers that need. Because ministry, again, a huge field that we can do more about. And finally is the area of mission. Because it's not a word you hear often, and we ought to hear it all the time, because we are a missionary people. God has sent us out into the world to share God's love and to make it real and tangible. And we can do a whole lot more with our mission perspective. Any male in here, we are so eager to have you join United Methodist Men. United Methodist Women can always have more members. They're eager to do that. And that's a terrific outlet for fellowship, but also for mission work. 2 weeks ago, we handed out a handout that listed all the projects in the church, or the beginnings of all the projects in the church. There are so many ways that you can become involved, but you need to get up off the pews and start working for Christ. My brothers and sisters, actions do speak louder than words. Christ has said it to us, and we hear it in those words. It is not just about belief, but it is about action. And we have the opportunity. This morning, let it be the beginning of our chance together to rethink what it is to be church to this world. God has commanded us, and this is our opportunity. Let it be so. And all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you.